I'm pleased to say today in Munich, we believe we have made progress on both the humanitarian front and the cessation of hostilities front. And these two fronts, this progress, has the potential, fully implemented, fully followed through on, to be able to change the daily lives of the Syrian people.
That was the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry announcing a planned ceasefire in Syria's civil war. But the deal relies on the cooperation of hundreds of different rebel groups. Bob Bowker is a former Australian ambassador to Syria and is now an adjunct professor at the Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies at the ANU. Bob, thank you for joining us on RN Drive again.
Good evening, Patricia.
You could hear that John Kerry's announcement was heavy in qualification. That will be significant if it comes off, and that's a big if, isn't it? How hopeful are you that this will stick?
I think it will probably stick so long as the Russians and the Americans are able to maintain an understanding about two things. Firstly, access of humanitarian goods to people in desperate need. And secondly, an understanding that although there may be differences of interpretation about who exactly is a terrorist organization according to the UN Security Council's definition, the Americans and the Russians have far more to gain by making this political process work than seeing it fall apart.
The planned ceasefire won't apply to terrorist groups. You just mentioned terrorists there, or the perception of some groups being terrorist groups. But it won't apply to groups including Islamic State. How does it work if one of the key players is not included?
Well, this is the very real question that has to be addressed over the next few days. Islamic State is a reasonably well-defined entity, but when it comes to Jabhat al-Nusra, the al-Qaeda affiliate, and the organizations that were basically spawned by al-Qaeda, Ahrar al-Sham in particular, which is probably in greater strength on the ground in Syria than Jabhat al-Nusra, it's very difficult to imagine that the Russians would be prepared to allow them to be given any sort of privilege while they're focused on attacking Jabhat al-Nusra. From a Russian perspective, if it looks like al-Qaeda, sounds like al-Qaeda, behaves like al-Qaeda, it's going to be treated like al-Qaeda. And the Russians are going to leave it to others to argue that indeed there is any real difference between them.
They've given a one-week time frame. Is this really achievable in a week?
I think there'll be some elements among the opposition groups that will fall into line with what's being proposed, but many others will go through a very intense debate among themselves as to how exactly they should respond to this. And some elements will probably be less coordinated than others.
Now, I'm interested, will this mean that the US and the Russians will stop their airstrikes completely? Is that part of the deal?
No. I'm sure the Russians will make every effort to keep up the aerial campaign directed against Jabhat al-Nusra and those organizations like Ahrar al-Sham that they regard as being simply al-Qaeda by another name. Where the Russians also choose not to use their air power, they can probably use artillery, surface missiles, a range of other forms to keep the pressure on the opposition. And certainly the Russians are not going to allow any ground to be ceded back to the opposition, including through the encirclement of Aleppo. I think the Russians now feel that they and this Assad regime have the military momentum, and they're not going to let that slide.
If you're just tuning into RN Drive, my guest is Bob Bowker. He's a former Australian ambassador to Syria and is now an adjunct professor at the Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies. Our number here, 0418 226 576. John Kerry says this deal was as much about getting aid into the region as anything else. How important is that? You talked earlier about aid flowing in. What will the test be of whether that aid is flowing at the level that is necessary here?
Well, the Russians and the Americans seem to have agreed that it will be the Russian Air Force that will be primarily responsible for dropping humanitarian supplies, and that avoids any issues of contested airspace with the Americans. But it's still a matter of who actually gets to access that material, who will be in control on the ground to receive it. I doubt very much that the Russians will attach a lot of priority to providing relief to those pockets of population that are clearly under the control of Jabhat al-Nusra and organisations like that. Bearing in mind, of course, that any organisation on the ground that receives these goods will use them to consolidate their own position. They will oversight the distribution of that material. They will reward their supporters and punish those who they suspect may not be willing to abide by their control.
This is a pretty crucial test, isn't it, in terms of a long-term solution to the Syrian problem. How big a test is this? If this ceasefire can be successful, will this pave the way for an ultimate deal?
I think it might pave the way for localised ceasefires. They're talking at this stage only about a cessation of hostilities rather than a more formal ceasefire arrangement, which has its own set of rules and so on. And if we are able to see a series of localised arrangements which either allow for a exodus of civilians or basically the negotiated surrender of rebel forces within those areas, then that's a step in the right direction. And Kerry is talking about a national level political effort as well. I think the main, there are two elements that are positive about this. The first is that it signifies a willingness on the part of Washington and Moscow to work together to alleviate this incredible humanitarian crisis that has grown up around us. And the second positive is that it does provide a face-saving device by which the Saudis and possibly the Turks can start to reevaluate their role in support of the rebel movements. There is, I think, now no prospect that the Saudis' primary political objective, which was the overthrow of the Assad regime, can be achieved. And it's a very real question whether the Saudis would gain anything by adding additional support to the rebels, given the current military momentum enjoyed by the Assad regime and the clear determination of the United States and the Russians that this conflict has to be wound back and not prosecuted even more intensively.
Bob Bowker, many thanks for your time this evening.
Thank you, Patricia.
That's Bob Bowker. He's a former Australian ambassador to Syria and now an adjunct professor at the Centre for Arab and Islamic Studies. You're listening to RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvelis. It's 25 minutes past 6. Now, coming up before 7, we'll have our weekly news wrap segment where we're examining the biggest stories of the week, and you can guess what we're going to be talking about. What do you reckon? Do you think we might touch the GST? Do you think we might touch this potential reshuffle, Stuart Robert? I think if you guess those things that you might be on my wavelength. But interestingly, of course, we always look at the smaller stories, the stories you might have missed, and they were always very interesting. Our number here, 0418 226 576. I'd love to get your texts on the stories you think have been really significant this week. And maybe you can tell me about some stories I might have missed.